now, from the Center for Common Sense Counseling, here's Roland Trujillo.
Well, hello, everybody. Welcome to the program. My name is Roland Trujillo, and today's program is going to be a good one. I want to talk about anxiety. I want to talk about anxiety because you hear a lot about it these days. And I think it'd be a good topic. Now, let me begin by, let me see if I can lay a little groundwork for you. Anxiety. Well, first of all, let's talk about the different kinds of anxiety. May I? All right. First of all, there is a kind of a free-floating, they used to call it free-floating anxiety. Free-floating anxiety. Just kind of a vague sense of something not being quite right. Well, the truth of the matter is, ladies and gentlemen, that there is something that's not quite right when you look around you at society. When you look at the injustice, at the cruelty, at the phoniness, at the lies, when you look at what's happening around the world, see, there's something not quite right. And then there's, and so if a person is aware of the fact that something is not quite right in the world, that certainly is, they are just simply being cognizant of the truth. Now, the other thing is about anxiety is that when you look at different cultures around the world, different cultures, and you see just how flaky, you know, how goofy, how weird so many of the practices are. So you have a little child born into a very weird and bizarre culture, and the little child is forced, you know, to go along with the strange and bizarre things that they do. And a little tiny child, very perceptive, still close to reality, the little child can see that what they're doing is weird. See, he's weird. But what happens? Well, the child is slapped around and criticized and ostracized and shunned until the child buckles under and then agrees that whatever the cultural practices are, you know, he has to go along with them. So he has to pretend that he doesn't see what he sees. See, he has to pretend that he doesn't see what he sees. So in that kind of an environment, you know, that lends itself to a bit of anxiety. Now, the other thing is, put aside for a moment whether the cultures are weird and bizarre, which many of them are. But even if they were not weird and bizarre, if you look around, you see everybody divided up into this group and this religion and that religion and this culture and that culture and this practice and that practice. So whatever family, whatever society you're born into, well, you have that you're forced to adapt to that particular one, and that sets you at odds. There's, you know, against the other ones who see things totally differently and have a different viewpoint and different practices and everything. So there's got to be some kind of uneasiness. You see, it divides human beings. See, we're all one race. We're all part of the human race. We're all human beings. Doesn't matter, you know, whether you're from Africa or Finland or South America or Asia or Colorado. You know, whether you're white, black, Chinese, Filipino, doesn't matter, Mexican, German, we're all of the human race. And so whatever divides us up into different camps, it makes us feel a bit uneasy about it, you see? All right. So let's have a little announcement, then I'll be back with more about this topic. Most of us react emotionally to pressure. It's not so much the pressure that hurts us, but our emotional reaction. If you would like to learn the secret of remaining calm in the face of pressure, listen to a free introductory version of the meditation exercise at www.commonsensecounseling.org. While you're there, listen to my latest lecture on relationships. It's all in the free download section. That's commonsensecounseling.org. Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. The program is Ask Roland, and I think you're going to enjoy today's program. As I said, we're talking about anxiety. Now, I just laid a little bit of groundwork for you. Now, there's something else that's kind of wrong. That would make people feel uneasy. And that is the fact that we humans, created in the image and likeness of God. We, as a race, we have fallen away from God. See, the truth is that we're not risen apes. The truth is that we're fallen. We are fallen from a much higher order of existence to a lower one. You know, had Adam not eaten of the forbidden fruit, if he had not disobeyed God and been ambitious, and he had been content just to do what God asked him to do, God's simple instructions. God made his will known through very simple instructions, and the tree that was there stood for disobeying his will. Well, Adam disobeyed God's will, and you know what happened. We began to fall. Adam began to deteriorate. He went from a higher level of consciousness to a lower one, from a higher way of being to a lower way of being, and death was ushered in. Death entered as a result of Adam's disobedience. So we're all born as the progeny, the great-great-great-great-great-great-granddaughters and grandsons of Adam. And so we inherit his nature, and we inherit the fallen existence. From our parents. So the earth is like a hellhole. See, it's definitely not a heaven on earth. It's not a paradise. See, Adam was in paradise, but because he was disobedient, he became subject to another order. He became subject to that order which tempted him. See? That order tempted Adam. And through his wife, Adam spoke what coached her to speak. And so the serpent was very clever. Instead of approaching Adam directly, if the serpent had approached Adam directly, well, Adam would have seen something amiss. He would have gone to his father and said, "Father, there's this serpent over here." But instead, the serpent was very clever. He approached through Eve. And it was the old ego thing. The lie was that Adam could do his own thing. He could do his own thing without God. And so Adam fell for the temptation. And so he lost paradise on earth, and instead we have hell on earth. Why? Because the human race is subject to that order, that authority, that agency, that will that Adam fell to. So the serpent is still around today, that hellish, that dark agency or authority or intelligence. It's still around today with its will. And it's still tempting us to be something. You know, get an education, get degrees. Not that learning is wrong. Don't get me wrong. Not that being industrious is wrong. But being ambitious, to ingest knowledge so you can lord it over other people. So it's education is still touted as the way to greatness, to cure all of our problems and to solve all of our problems and to become great. Still said to be through education. Most people buy into that lie, and it's touted everywhere. And great great, you know, so you have the school system and you have the all of the universities and colleges and the, all the experts and so on. See? So they're all touting education as the way. Now, like I said, I'm not against learning. Not at all. I'm in favor of learning. And I love discovering. Love discovering. But when we, if you ingest knowledge ambitiously, see, or resentfully, to lord it over other people, then there's something wrong with that. That's what Adam did, and that's what we're still being tempted to do today. So if you get a typical child, goes to school, and he becomes, they pressure the child. See, there you have it. Pressure. Pressure is the hallmark of evil. See, Adam was tempted. But then after Adam became subject to the wrong, they became pressured, see. So now the little child is born into the world relatively innocent. The child is born innocent, but inheriting a fallen nature, a nature that is subject to pressure, that is amenable to being pressured, that is, see, that is susceptible to being pressured. And here comes the pressure. Parents pressure the child, slap it around and say, you're no good, you know, you're lazy, you know, you're not paying attention, you're not respecting me, you're not doing your homework. They slap the child around, they send the child off to school, there he's pressured, study, study, study. Child goes out on the playground and he's pressured, kids knock him down, steal his lunch money and threaten him and pressure him to join a gang or to take drugs and pressure, pressure, pressure. See? And sooner or later the child succumbs to the pressure. See, the enticing, seductive pressure, or the teasing pressure, see? So he succumbs to it. So one child becomes the conformist. He conforms for mother's approval and teacher's approval so he can get his degree and get his perks, see? But he feels anxious. He feels anxious, see? And what is this angst or anxious, anxious or anxiety? It's because he's copped out, so he's guilty. See, so that anxiety is actually guilt. See, it's the link between what we could have been, the Einstein or the Mozart, the Beethoven, the George Washington, the Sojourner Truth, the Susan B. Anthony you could have been, and the pressured thing that you became. You see what I mean? That's the conflict. So sensing that conflict, because we have a soul, we have a consciousness, you feel anxiety. Okay? Which is not a bad thing, because it makes you, because that way you're aware that something's wrong. Take it away and you think everything's fine when it's not fine. Now the other thing, another person being pressured in school, the gang pressure, the drug pressure, the ambition pressure, the study pressure, see, pressuring him to cop out like his cop-out brother did. Well, he becomes resentful, angry, hateful, resentful, and he rebels. Well, he feels anxiety too, anxiety and conflict. Why? Because he's full of hate. See, but we're not supposed to be full of hate, so he feels guilt over that. This guilt feels like anxiety. So what does he do? He takes drugs, smokes marijuana or alcohol to get rid of the conflict. I'll be right back.
Would you like a really positive attitude? If so, you must learn how not to be upset. If you are easily upset, it is because you are too reactive. In order to be calm, you must learn the secret of responding to inner principle instead of external tease. To learn the secret of not reacting with resentment and upset, go to commonsensecounseling.org, where you can download a free introductory copy of the meditation exercise. By relating humbly to inner principle, you can overlook others' cruelty and also overlook your own negative thoughts and emotions. By having remained unmoved, you are free to discern the meaning of the moment and respond with patience. The self-control you receive will restore confidence and a positive attitude based on a love of principle and having patience with others. Visit commonsensecounseling.org and start living instead of reacting.
If you'd like to communicate by mail, address your correspondence to Roland Trujillo, that's R-O-L-A-N-D, TRUJILLO, Box 2, 1698 Market Street, Redding, California, 96001. That's Roland Trujillo, Box 282, 1698 Market Street, Redding, California, 96001. Please remember that Roland's program is listener-supported. Thank you.
Oh, ladies and gentlemen, beautiful music. Beautiful music. Yes, indeed. Have you been able to follow me so far? We're talking about anxiety, free-floating anxiety. And I said the very fact that you have one group versus another group and one culture versus another. One people do things one way and another way. It kind of divides people up from their common humanity. So we feel a bit uneasy about that. Then there's another kind of anxiety that comes from copping out, from being pressured and copping out, or from being pressured and becoming resentful. Makes us feel guilty. See? Plus the pressure itself. See, the pressure it causes anxiety when you feel pressure. See? Now, if you knew how to deal with the pressure, now let me add this little caveat. There is a way of learning to deal with this pressure. If you were to get the meditation that I have and practice it, what it does is it helps you to rise, to come back out of your hypnotic fallen state where you're lost in your thinking and lost in your emotions. And now you are subject to your thinking. Now you are subject to thoughts and emotions. And incidentally, the tempter is still around operating through your thoughts, which are not really your thoughts. See? And operating through society and through the powers that be that pressure you, and the entertainment media and the drug dealers. And see, they're all, the temptation is coming from all of those places, but it also comes right through your mind. But if you could rise in awareness and be able to observe thought without being lost in thought, then you wouldn't have to be subject to it. If you could observe see your emotions rising without overreacting to what you see, so you just observe it calmly. You wouldn't be subject anymore. See, look, this is very important. Very, 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 very important. This is an excellent, excellent, excellent little discourse or lecture here. It sounds very simple to the average person. It sounds very, very simple, and they don't really see where I'm going. They don't see the value in it, so they dismiss it. But there are certain people who are able to understand what I'm saying. They track with it, and their eyes are opened. See, the veil is parted, and you see. Ah, I see, you say. See? Because when you hear someone like me talk about such things in an enlightening kind of a way, it actually helps you to rise in consciousness so you can temporarily not be subject to the other. See? But you can be subject to, well, to reason, to enlightened reason. Okay, now look, here's what I wanted to give you. Let me give you a little example. This is a very simple example, but it's very good, so please pay close attention. When you are asleep, and then you have a dream, let's say it's a little bit of a scary dream. So you're having a little scary dream, somebody's chasing you in your dream, and you start screaming. See? But then you wake up. You wake up. And then you see that it was only a dream. But when you were in the dream, you were subject to the dream, and you felt like it was really happening. Maybe your heart was pounding, and you started screaming. But when you wake up, you see that it was only a dream. You see what I mean? Well, likewise, now, you are subject to your thoughts. Not even your thoughts, but whatever thinking process is going on, and whatever emotions then arise from those thoughts, you are subject to them. But if you could observe the thought, if you could stand back and observe the thought, then you're no longer subject to the thought. See? Well, can you see now how if the serpent's will is operating through pressure and that kind of thinking, if you were standing back, you wouldn't be subject to it anymore.
Hello, this is Roland. Highlights from selected Common Sense programs are available at our website, commonsensecounseling.org. Click on Streaming Audio and you'll find programs by topic in Real Player or Windows Media format. Plus, listen to my lecture on how to stop hurting those you love, and find links to all five of my blogs. It's all at commonsensecounseling.org.
Well, here I am again, ladies and gentlemen. Here I am again. Now, I'd better get right to the point before we run out of time. Can you see how, if you could stand back and observe your thoughts and how they tempt you, how your very own thoughts, but they're not really your own thoughts, tempt you? See? And they tempt everyone. See, the whole world is subject to temptation and to pressure. But if you could stand back and learn to observe calmly from the distance, you wouldn't be subject to it anymore. See? And then gradually the emotions would diminish, which have also enslaved you. See how important that is. You could become objective to other people and their ploys and their shenanigans and their deceitfulness. You would simply see it, but now you wouldn't resent it anymore. You wouldn't hate them anymore. That's very important. When you see it, not to resent it or hate it or struggle with it. Just see it. Likewise, your own thoughts. See, the tempter is always there, operating through our thoughts, especially when we become upset, when we take drugs, or when we become upset or angry, or when we haven't slept enough. See, when we become excited, or we want something too much, or when we become very angry, there are those thoughts tempting you. See, they're always, the tempter is always there. See, roaming around. What was it say in the Bible? The devil roams around like a lion, seeing who he can devour. Well, he may not be a liar, but a lion. See, it may not approach as a lion, but these thoughts approach. You know, they tell you that, well, they tell you all kinds of negative things about yourself and about other people, and they confuse you, and it's all very confusing. That's why you have to learn to stand back, so you're no longer struggling with it. See, struggle, you're giving into the temptation. If you give in to it, you're giving in. See? If you go along with it, you're giving in. If you resent it, it's another form of doing the tempter's will. But if you could just stand back and observe, see, it's very important. Here's another example of standing back. I gave you the example of being lost in a dream, and then you're screaming, and then you wake up, and you see that it was only a dream. You're no longer subject when you wake up. That's what you have to do now. You have to wake up. See, you are lost. Lost in your music. Lost in your pleasures, lost in your drugs, lost in study, lost in imagination, planning, thinking, scheming, daydreaming. See, you're lost in all of those. You become subject to them. You can't see the forest for the trees. That's why it's very important to get the meditation that I have. It helps you to stand, teaches you how to stand back. Okay? So now, let's put a little capstone on this little talk on anxiety. Can you see now can you see that any form of ambition would make a person anxious? Giving in to any kind of pressure, or once you've given in to pressure, then when the pressure comes again, then because you gave in to it, through the conditioning, your body reacts to the pressure, see? And then you sense that there's the pressure, you're afraid you're going to give in to it again like you did before, see? And then you panic or you become resentful, see? There's always a secondary emotion, see? But can you see, though, how it has to do with awareness? It has to do with being aware. Here comes the pressure. In the past, the pressure gave in. You gave in to it. It made you feel guilty, made you feel nervous. You didn't like giving in to it, but you don't know how to fight it, see, because you don't know how to cope with it, so it makes you anxious. Well, hey, if you could learn the little meditation technique that I have, not only does it permit you to stand back from thoughts and feelings, but better yet, it connects you to your ground of being. It connects you to, well, it connects you to the inner light from God. So that the inner light now can shine upon these things with which you have struggled in the past and which you have to struggle with no more.
This is Roland. It's obvious to searching and sensitive people that what we have here is the real deal. We help people find their intuition and become friends with conscience. Helping people awaken to the reality of inner truth and restoring them to the God of conscience is my gift to you. But I must take a moment to ask for help in return. We're in desperate need of someone to sponsor our airtime. It's a miracle that I'm still here after 18 years. But in order to continue, we need help in a big way. We're in special need of someone who can give a large gift of $1,000 or more. If you have been blessed in your life, and especially if you are blessed to be able to hear and respond to truth, then helping us to stay on the air would be a noble way of expressing your gratitude. If you've ever thought of helping us, now is the time to do so. Your gift will make a difference. You will actually be helping others by sponsoring this program and keeping it on the air so that it will be there for people. If you would like to help, make your check payable to Roland Trujillo, 1698 Market Street, Box 282, Redding, California, 96001. To give a gift by credit card, log on to commonsensecounseling.org and click on the donate button. Gifts are not tax deductible, but your reward will be in heaven, as the old saying goes. Thank you.
Well, ladies and gentlemen, now, do you get my point? Do you see how you've always dealt with everything like an ego, in an egotistical way, fighting with it, struggling with it, trying to cope with it, being upset by it? See? And then when it approaches again, with more of its shenanigans, more of its temptation, more of its tease, more of its cruelty, more of its confusion, then you become aware of that it's there, and it makes you upset again, and you fear that you're going to succumb again. You see how that works? Would you please get the meditation and give it a try? It's free. Go to CoachRoland.com. CoachRoland. CoachRoland.com. It's free. Until next time, bye-bye.
You have been listening to Roland Trujillo from the Center for Common Sense Counseling. Now you can listen to Roland anytime by logging on to www.commonsensecounseling.org. You'll find lots of free helpful information, and you can also order materials or make a donation by using your credit card. Once again, the web address is commonsensecounseling.org. If you'd like to communicate by mail, address your correspondence to Roland Trujillo. That's RoLandTrujillo. 1698 Market Street, Box 282, Redding, California, 96001. That's 1698 Market Street, Box 282, Redding, California, 96001. Please remember that Roland's program is listener-supported. Thank you.